All right, let's move on to our next guest here this morning. Hey, good Sunday morning. It's 93.1 Jack FM. Scott Mason here with you. Open line. That's what's on the radio right now.
I'd like to say hello to my guest, and his name is Matthew Ashford. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
People know you as Jack DeVroe, star of NBC soap opera Days of Our Lives.
Yep.
Very good. You're the sixth of eight children, born in Davenport, Iowa.
Yep. Yep, big family.
Married with two children.
Mm-hmm. Gracie and Emma.
And yes. We're actually here to talk about Emma a little bit.
Yes.
Emma has a particular eye problem.
Yeah, she was born with retinoblastoma, which is an infant eye cancer. And we didn't recognize it, but my wife recognized it. Fortunately, Christina saw her eye was moving just kind of like a little erratically, which is not too unusual for infants. But we managed to get her eyes dilated by a specialist, and they put some drops in her eyes, dilated her eyes, immediately saw the tumors, and she had six tumors in each eye.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's because it's a fast-growing, one of the first cancers that you could get because it only takes two markers to go wrong, and it's very deadly if not treated quickly. But we were very, very fortunate. We got down to Children's Hospital Los Angeles very quickly, and we found out that many people were misdiagnosed because babies don't get their eyes dilated because doctors don't think they're going to ever see this. It's so it gets missed, and when it's missed, it's devastating.
Well, it sounds like you went to the right place. I know Children's Hospital Los Angeles is one of the top in the nation.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah, really amazing. We're very, very fortunate.
And as a parent, mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it would be like to have my child go through something that was potentially life-threatening.
Oh, yeah, it's deadly. She has the more severe form of it in both eyes, bilateral.
So follow the story along. You went in when she was a baby,
mm-hmm.
and what happened?
Well, it was Dr. Lynn Murphy at Children's, was this amazing surgeon, and the woman with the Institute for Families, Blind Children is what it was called, the Institute of Families, they really took care of us. My point is that it's devastating to a family, and they were able to talk to us right away and start telling us about these options, but in a very quiet, very close way that we could begin to realize that our daughter has this life-threatening illness and we have to start making choices of treatments, including chemotherapy, including laser therapy, cryotherapy. And she ended up having 33 surgeries and laser and chemo. She,
That disturbs me just hearing it for a child.
Yeah, well, for an infant. She was
an infant,
but she did
just
so
well. It disturbs me. Yeah.
Well, I know, but we're the lucky ones, though. I mean, she's 14 years old now. She's a beautiful girl. She looks great. We're really, really fortunate. But what scared me the most was having doctors, surgeons, nurses, other parents saying, how did you get here so soon?
Right.
That's one of the reasons we formed Retinoblastoma International.
Plus your eyes just seem to be one of the most sensitive things in your whole body.
Yeah, we count on our eyes. And suddenly, parents being told, to save your child's life, we have to remove their eyes. it's devastating. And if it's not treated or caught, that's what's going to happen. We've pushed for early dilation of an infant's eyes in their first well baby visit. We really tried to get that happening. And pediatricians, they do it as they can, but they don't expect to see it. And it's like looking through a keyhole with a tiny pen light and trying to see the other side of the room.
What has the success been like in this particular cancer? Have we made any? Is there research ongoing?
Yeah, we've done amazing. First of all, we lowered the diagnosis time from 18 months to roughly 6 months. They're being caught earlier and being treated earlier. And there's these things. There's we're focusing on something called proteomics. That is going to the proteins in the cancer cells themselves from the cell lines, from the eyes that have been enucleated, taken out. And when they figure this out, they're going to literally be able to see, if there's a chance of any other cancer, secondary cancer for any of these kids as they survive.
And what's the likelihood of other cancers being found?
It depends on if they had radiation or not. If they didn't, now most kids don't have radiation, there's less and less chance. But my daughter's, but was told by someone at the hospital, they said, look, basically you have to think as if you've been smoking two packs of cigarettes for 20 years. And she's kind of, 14-year-old kid, said in terms of the sun, in terms of organic foods, right, in terms of clean water, she just needs to take care of her life.
And your other daughter, nothing?
Nope, she got a check. She's nothing. Of course, it was devastating to her as well. It's devastating to a family.
Right, of course, in that regard. Do they know what causes this at all?
This was a mutation. It's a natural mutation. It happens all the time. Our doctor thinks that it has something to do with nutrition. It's found in other parts of the world where there's poorer nutrition even more than here. But it's still, you're going to have like 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,100 kids. It's just going to pop up.
Can they find something like this in amniocentesis before a birth?
Yes. They're able to see it now in infants, you know, months before they're born, especially if they know that the parent has retinoblastoma, because if you have the bilateral, there's a 50% chance of passing it on.
Uh-huh.
And so it's important for a kid to know, you know, you're healthy now, you've beat this, but it's in every cell in your body. So you might as well be looking ahead at the possibility that your child will also have this.
Well, in today's medicine, with genome mapping,
yes,
something, there has to be breakthroughs on the horizon, so you would think.
Yes. One of the first cells mapped was the retinoblastoma gene, because it's so clear. It's only these two markers are pretty clear. So these two markers are the same part of the nine of breast cancer. So they're all connected. When it starts to fall, it's going to be an amazing, amazing thing.
When they unlock it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It will be the domino effect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the question then will be, what can we do? But right now, our surgeon said, you know, treating this with chemotherapy or forget about radiation is like trying to kill a cockroach with a sledgehammer. It's so brutal.
Wow. And most people don't know about this.
Oh, no, no. And it's, you know, you don't unless you've gone through it. But the interesting thing is that there's like 6, 7, 8, or 9 other eye, you know, like things that happen in kids' eyes that don't, they go untreated, undiagnosed. And, you know, we could catch all these things. If more babies had their eyes dilated and they were looking, they would catch all these other
things. Why is it not? You know, that's a great point. If, why does it not happen?
I think it's holding a little baby, dilating his eyes is really hard for the pediatricians who are overworked and underpaid. And they think, you know, these things are regularly missed. But a fact is, my surgeon told me, he said that 6 out of 10 kids who drop out of school had trouble seeing the board or hearing the teacher.
Right.
When they go back and look. And now, I'll bet you, and I'll include, like, how many people in prison are in that same case. From those first crucial years, from birth to 5, 6, 7 years old, they couldn't see, they couldn't hear.
Big disadvantage.
Yeah, but it's fixable. That's the thing, is that these are things that we fix. It's all, but a person develops through what they see, what they hear, you know. I mean, it's all development.
So you got involved in this, and then are you the national spokesperson now? What is your role?
I'm a founder on the board of Retinoblastoma International. It's still a mom and pop thing, but we're known actually around the world now.
You probably have a website, and I'm sure you talk about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's retinoblastoma.net. And, you know, people can make donations if they wish, and in support of that. And it goes out, you know, it does go out around the world in terms of our care, trying to help get that word out. Interesting, one of the things that we're looking at now, just my character on days is dealing with PTSD, actually. I think it's just becoming aware that he had a very traumatic experience and he's dealing with it. And I talked to this surgeon, Dr. Murphy. He said they're finding that children have PTSD from these extreme, extreme surgical procedures. You know, you don't realize even though a child is 1 year old, younger,
uh-huh,
and held down, and suddenly a mask is being put over their face to knock them out. And they said they're forever changed. They're afraid of big buildings. They're afraid of people in uniforms. They're afraid of people in white. I mean, the rest of their lives, they have problems. And it's real. It's a very real thing. And they're just starting to try to deal with it here at Children's and other, I'm sure, in other hospitals.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. Is this research going on across the country, across the world? Is it international?
Actually, it is. And, you know, as a parent, of course, we want to see all the hospitals working together for the good of the child and the good of the family. They, of course, are their own institutions and don't always share everything as soon as the parents would want them to. But the basic treatments are starting to go online, realizing this is a really good idea. And let's look, you know, these kids are getting treated, but they're being damaged deep in their souls, you know, for the fear they carry the rest of their lives. And so this is a whole new thought that Dr. Murphy and the Eye Center and Children's Hospital is definitely starting to look into, because their focus is children.
How do people find out more about this disease? I know you gave me the www.retinoblastoma.net website. Is that pretty much where most of the information is?
It's some of the best information. You know, there's so much misinformation and fear, and there's a lot of things out there. That's one of the reasons that our website, we've tried to keep it up, keep it very simple, and to remind people that everyone's case is different, and that the scariest outcome doesn't have to be their outcome.
Right, and this is scary.
Well, and that's true, but in some communities, they're so fearful of cancer that they
don't want to hear the word even.
They don't want to hear it. Yeah. So the important thing is to get the baby and a child and a young person out of the community over to the hospital where they can get their treatment. And it's a chronic illness. It doesn't have to be a deadly illness. It just needs to get treated.
And what is the prognosis now looking forward with her?
For Emma, it's very good. It's very good. She is cancer free, but part of the reason that the proteomics is important to us is because there's always a chance of secondary cancers. It's a little higher for them. So,
what's your routine? Does she go for regular cancer screenings every year? Or how does it work?
Every year, sometimes 6-8 months, she will see the surgeon. She will see, the blood doctor and hematologist, right. Oncologist, and they're just looking and going through the teenage years when there's so much growth going on anyway.
Okay, so let's review. People who would like to know more about this disease, retinoblastoma, you can go to www.retinoblastoma.net.
Mm-hmm.
There's information there. There's probably other information all over the web if you Google that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things over there, but sometimes there's just scare stories of what somebody went through, and that's what we're trying to, so people don't get scared and give up or whatever they do.
Well, don't give up.
Absolutely.
There's hope, and you're proof of that right here, sitting
absolutely
in front of me talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you coming on down.
Oh, thank you.
And it's been a pleasure. It's very nice to meet you. Glad to have you, and I wish you all the best.
All right. Thank you very much.